Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life. I'm broadcasting from WFIA in St. Louis. Come join us, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number. Come be with us today.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, well, I know it's not my birthday, and sat down on the couch.
I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
Dave, it was Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a three-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school, high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here in Louisville, Kentucky. On my way back from the AACC, American Association of Christian Counselors, and stopped by here. They're so nice to let me do this, and I think Stephanie set this whole thing up, and I'm really grateful for that. In the studio in Laguna Beach, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, Steve. Hi.
I am really good because I gave my talk yesterday. And it was something I was worried about for a long time. And here's the title of the talk.
Wait a minute. Okay. Where was this talk?
The American Association of Christian Counselors in Nashville.
Okay. Which explains why you're in Louisville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm on my way back home, and I couldn't get there in time to do the show. So
Got
they
it.
Let me do it here.
Nice.
Okay. Here's the title. The Sexually Competent Recovering Male Sex Addict. That is the talk. And the room was packed. People were sitting on the floor up against the wall. And I had picked this because it's one of the most common problems. It's not normal, but it's one of the most common problems that the guys struggle with that get out of every man's battle. And so I gave them my two cents on, you know, what we can do about it and why the problem exists. But the reality is that a guy involved in illicit sex or pornography, it's very, very difficult, as you both know, to establish intimacy with a real live human being.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is one of the things that we get calls on all the time is how do they reconnect? Because the very thing that partly drove them into the sexual addiction is that fear of intimacy and the inability to be intimate. Yeah. So then they hit up against it again.
Well, and with, you know, sexual addiction and pornography, I don't have to deal with a real person. I can just be dealing with a fantasy person that always is alluring, never has changes of moods, never sleepy, tired,
hungry. It's just
tired,
what I
hungry.
Need them to be.
Yeah. Doesn't judge me.
Right.
And
right.
I'm in total control.
So to switch from an object to a person, real live person, is a big part of the shift that a person needs to take.
Okay, here's the other thing.
What are you going to say next?
In the midst of the addiction, it becomes all about me,
right?
My relief or release, and all about my sexuality and all of that.
And
so the transition or the transformation has to be going from thinking of, when you think of sex, not thinking of an act that gratifies you, but as a time and a place where I grow closer to the person that I'm married to and the person that I love. And that's a tough transition.
So it becomes other-focused is what you're saying, right?
That's right.
Did you get a standing ovation? Because that sounds excellent.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I got a standing laughter on many. We had a great time with it. And, hey, listen, if the show does not go well today, well, it's Friday the 13th, so it's not our fault, okay? So it's just we just had bad luck. And don't blame us. It's in the weather. But we love you. We want you to join us. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham November 1st through the 3rd in Southern California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, and it is my lucky day to be on with Mylon Yorkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And I just want to clarify, when I said that there was a lot of laughter, it wasn't making fun of the process or anything, but just some of the questions that the people asked were pretty much off the wall. And so we, as mature adults, had a good, good time.
Oh, I'm so glad you clarified that.
Yeah, we were really wondering about
not you.
Not that you didn't have that. That whole talk laden with funny jokes.
Yes.
I had a few
to lighten
humorous comments there. Mm-hmm. And actually, they were self-deprecating comments, and and they seemed to like that. You know, when you speak at that convention, half the people know more than you, and the other half, it might be their first time or second time. So to half of them, you come across arrogant, and the other half, you come across as condescending if you don't connect with them very well. All right, let's go to the phones.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, let's go to Jane from Torrance, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Really good. Thank you.
Good. My question is, I'll keep it really to the point. I have a 30-year-old daughter. She has four children. She's bipolar. And she's been sexting pictures of herself via her phone to other men. Her husband found out, is devastated, doesn't handle things very well. He came to us. Her father and I are just, we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to help her see what she's doing is could cost her all her children, not to mention herself. And so we just don't know how to help her.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that we see is that it is more and more common every day for women to get trapped in their own addiction or, you know, whatever you would call it, obsession or compulsion. But a lot of women are getting in trouble. And we don't have a treatment program for the sexting part, but we do offer healing as a choice for everything else, you know, the source of it and how to stop the process from the beginning. But let's see what Mylon and Jill have to say.
You know, you mentioned, Jane, that she's bipolar, and I'm wondering what kind of help she's getting for that, because this sounds like an acting out that would take place when she's in more of a manic phase.
Yes, it seems to me that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
She was on medication for quite a while, and you know, when they're medicated and they're doing well, they think, I don't need my medication anymore.
Right.
We've been trying to convince her of the things we've seen, the manic things that she's doing. Like, for instance, when her husband confronted her with the evidence, she gets violently angry.
Mm-hmm.
And she will hit him and to try and deflect from what she's doing. And so, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we can get her to actually face the fact that this is what she's doing. So that she will you know, say, I believe she loves her children enough to get help.
Right. But I think in that phase, she's not connecting the dots. And probably will not own any of her behavior. She won't see the impact. And so, you know, ideally to have her husband or someone go with her to the psychiatrist so that, you know, you guys can, you know, give accurate information as to what's going on.
And then also find out where there's a really good female Sex Addicts Anonymous group and offer that to her. Offer to go with her to that. Because, you know, I really believe that it becomes, well, it doesn't really matter whether it's an addiction or an obsession or compulsion. The healing from it is going to be the same no matter the source.
Right, because it's the underlying, I believe, that's causing her to need all this attention.
Hey, Jane.
Now that she's turned 30.
Jane, are all those children fathered by her current husband?
No.
Okay, so...
She has one from a previous relationship, one step, and two with the current husband.
Okay. So, really, it's possible there's another diagnosis going on here besides bipolar. Either way, it's a severe condition, and I'm so sorry you guys are going through this. One of the things that if you really want to get Jane's attention, or your daughter's attention, Jane, is your husband's going to have to decide what he's going to do with her explosiveness, with her violent anger. And when she hits her
husband or
the daughter's,
her dad?
I'm sorry,
husband.
The daughter's husband,
okay.
Yeah.
Is going to have to decide what he's going to do mm-hmm. when your daughter, Jane, is violent, angry, and hits him. Now, in the state of California, if you call in the police, they have the discretion of deciding if this is something that they wish to take the person into jail and press charges. And I've seen situations like this where that is the thing that mm-hmm. slows your daughter down and makes her start to think, what did I do?
There's a consequence.
Right. And I'd like to suggest that maybe the only card you guys have to play right now, and your husband's going to have to call that and play that card. And it sounds severe, but it is severe because your daughter's acting severe. Mm-hmm. It's an appropriate, to match her acting out, it's an appropriate response from you guys.
So her husband, the daughter's husband,
that's right.
needs to take a stand.
Right.
Right.
And
all of you can take a stand with her.
Right.
You know, that until she's willing to get help, then you guys may, you know, be setting up some boundaries for her, removing yourselves from her.
Right.
Okay.
So I think you're going to have to get that serious about things.
And that's kind of where I've been feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be a little type A and sometimes overreact to things because it's just like, we need to stop this now. And luckily there's enough of us that we all come from a different place. One thing her husband did say, to my husband yesterday, he's been in therapy the last several weeks, and he himself has learned to react differently to her.
Good.
Well, that's good.
Instead of fighting back.
Right.
Okay. Now, let me say this. There's also, we want you to know that there are interventionists that can come along and help you get the help for her that she needs, and you hold on, and we'll put you in touch. I'm going to send you a copy of Mylon's book, How We Love. I hope that either her husband or maybe she would be willing to read that, and I think it'll be a great blessing. So hold on.
That would be great.
We'll
Thank
get
you.
That to you.
We're sorry, Jane. That's
yeah.
a rough situation for you and your family. But
I'm glad you're there to intervene and help out. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. That is the number to call, and we would love to talk with you. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Kathy from Fairfax, Virginia. She listens online, and we're really glad that she does that. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to your show a lot and learn a great deal.
Thank you.
And I found the other call really helpful, but I am a new nanny. I started 2 weeks ago. I have been a teacher special needs children, learning disabled and hyperactive and ED, emotionally disturbed, for 13 years. I'm dealing with some really, really difficult children. I have a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 12-year-old who've had really just nannies come and go. Their mom works 12 hours a day. And I just don't know what to do with them. I've been really successful in the past with structuring and, you know, positive rewards. I don't like doing punishment. But the 6-year-old especially is incredibly defiant. She's physically aggressive towards the dog, towards her sister. She has, she wets her bed, not only at night, but throughout the day. She'll wet her pants and just deny it. She'll just sit on the couch or on a chair, and you go to sit on it, it's soaking wet, and she'll say that she did.
Yeah. What have you told the parents about this?
The mom, the first time I was speaking with her for the interview, I said I really, from my experience with children, that when they're products of divorce, basically, it helps them a great deal to get counseling, whether it's group counseling or family counseling. And the mom said that she really didn't have time. She works 12 hours a day. She only gets one day off, and she needs to get a bunch of other things done.
Not exactly the response you needed.
Yeah, Kathy.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the question for us?
Well, what kind of, do you have any suggestions, guidance for me? I'm really thinking of just telling the mom this is more than I can handle. That she needs somebody who's got way more experience with difficult children than I do. I thought I could do this.
Let's think about this. What if you just sat down with her, quite honestly, and said, it's not working for me, just like it hasn't worked for many of the other nannies there. You have a problem, and I know this is hard to hear, but I'm willing to help you with your problem. And if we work together, we can make progress. But mm-hmm. if you know, you think everything's okay, or they're just going to outgrow this or something, then I don't see a lot of really good outcome for those kids. And maybe see what her response is from that. Let's hear Mylon. Jill, what do you think?
You know, the Bible talks about not making children angry.
Mm.
And it's right next to the verse that says, children, honor your mother and father. But we don't talk a lot about that verse, you know, parents making their kids angry. And you have a very frustrated set of little girls on your hands here. And the defiance and the anger, et cetera. And I would... I would agree with Steve that you're going to have to decide based upon the cooperation of the mom whether you're in or out. It's hard for you to walk away, I'm sure, because you sound like a very committed, loyal person. But you're probably going to maybe have to walk away if you don't have the cooperation. The mom isn't at a whole lot better level than the girls are.
Mm-hmm. So true.
See?
Yeah.
So she may not be able to give you the resources. But what I would do with those girls is I would be asking them every day what they feel. And I would be asking them to share with you their feelings and what is tied to those feelings. And I would try to relate to them on that level. If they're angry or defiant, or she wets on the couch and you looked at her and you said, you know, I bet you're angry at something. What are you angry at? You're going to probably, with time, start to get some answers. And they're going to believe that somebody can create containment for their little child's soul.
That's what
a parent does. There's nobody to help the child. The role of a parent is to help the little child's soul sort out stuff. So you have a choice. You can give it a try and see if in fact, by delving into the emotions, it's not just structure. That's all good. But it's also about, what do you feel right now? I can tell you're mad. You want to tell me about it?
And if they have difficulty talking, Kathy, you know, use drawing pictures. Tell them to draw what they're feeling, or have them draw pictures of their family. Or, you know, you can learn a lot by having a kid draw something and then say, so tell me about this picture. And you ask them different questions. But I like that idea because, you know, mom sounds like someone who's probably overwhelmed trying to make ends meet. I don't know where dad is in all of this. You know, so mom is tapped out. She doesn't have anything to give, which is so sad because they really need more of her. Yeah. So, but to have someone there,
Jill,
that's caring about.
Jill, you do some art therapy stuff.
Right.
And what would be an idea for Kathy to have the kids draw? You said the family.
Well, right. Their family. Draw, you know, their favorite place. But also, you know, the idea of drawing feelings. It can be just a scribble. It can be something that depicts that, something that shows what they're feeling, and get them to be able to identify what's going on with them in the moment. Like Mylan hooking up the, you know, peeing on the couch to being angry. So they can start to make those links will help them immensely.
And you've got to do rewards and consequences, an old-fashioned concept. You know, they have to clean up the mess, and you work out rewards when things that have been happening don't. I believe that if there was ever a family that needed counseling, you're really right. They do.
And that counselor may be you.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. I'll send you Raising Great Kids right after this.
There's a common misconception in our society that divorce is the only option for a broken marriage.
A month before coming here, I went and saw a non-church-related counselor. The lady I talked to said, you need to be divorced by the end of the year.
Here at New Life, we believe the complete opposite. Your marriage can be repaired, no matter what you've gone through.
Everything, even the most devastating thing in your marriage, God can take and work it together for good.
Bring your troubles to New Life's Marriage Weekend. From October 11th through the 13th in Columbus, Ohio, New Life's group counselors will be working to help struggling couples across the country. And Steve Arterburn, Mylan and Kay Yurkovich, and Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop will be teaching you how to repair your marriage. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I just want to say thank you. This weekend has been completely transformational.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And we've got two very important workshops coming up on October the 11th. They are in Columbus, Ohio. Healing is a Choice for Depression, anxiety, feelings out of control, loneliness, isolation, things like that. Unresolved issues, shame from an abortion, and the Marriage Weekend. Both of those at the same time, at the same place. And then in Washington, D.C., that same date, October 11th through the 13th, Every Man's Battle. It's a great time, and as we told you earlier, we've started our survey on the effectiveness. And 85% say that go to one of these workshops say their life is better. 13% had a bad attitude, and their life is the same. And 1.9% should have never gone
can
in the
never
first
be
place.
Pleased.
And we have 1.9% perfectionists whose life is now worse because they've gone. But 85%. That when you think about how desperate people are before they finally agree to come to something like this, it's really remarkable. And we thank God for using the Christian counselors that work with us to produce that kind of result. It really is fantastic. So if you want some information on that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Now, let us go back to the phones, and let's see who we want to talk to now. Why don't we talk with Emmy on line 5 from Maynardville, Tennessee, pretty close to where I am. Hello, Emmy.
Oh.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you this afternoon? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, there's a lot going on, and I'm going to try to sum it up as best as I can.
Good luck.
4 years ago, my husband lost his job due to sexual harassment charges, and we struggled a lot during that time, but we got through it, and he lost a very good job, so it put us into a lot of financial problems. We prayed about it, and 3 years later, which was last November, he did get a position, and it was out of state. And we prayed about that, too, and felt that if he took it, you know, we walked through it, God would get us through it, and all will be well. Well, he lost that job as well. He suffered a lot due to depression, anxiety, helplessness, a lot of unresolved pressure from the past.
Why did he lose that job? Why did he lose that job? What happened that he lost that? What happened that he lost that job?
His anxiety was overwhelming due to the he's not good under pressure, and it was a very high pressure position, and he was over his head.
Okay.
So he struggled through it, and his boss tried to help him, but he was overwhelmed. So he ended up in the hospital for a week, but when he came out, I guess the medication wasn't working, and he did struggle. We had a lot of pressure because we weren't sure if I was going to be able to move and take my daughter out of state and join him. So he did lose the position, and he was afraid to come home due to judgment and anger on my part. Apparently, I had a lot of anger from the sexual harassment that was unresolved. So we discussed it, and he said he was going to come home, and right before he was going to come home, he decided not to. And instead, he abandoned me, and he went out west to live with his mom, and I didn't hear from him for 2 weeks. And when I heard from him, it was through an email, and it said, you're a wonderful person. I have to find myself and heal, and you need to do what you need to do, and we need to go our separate ways. And I was obviously very overwhelmed, very hurt, very depressed. But I didn't give up, and I kept reaching out and sending scripture every day, well, a couple times a week, emails. And finally, after about a month and a half, a friend of ours called and told him I was just devastated and that I was in counseling. And once he heard I was in counseling, I guess he felt there was hope because maybe my anger would resolve and we could work it. And so he wrote to me and told me that, you know, he had lost himself in fear of losing me all this time and that he felt that we could continue to communicate. But
okay, so what, let's get to the
email.
Let's cut to the chase and find out what your question is about that situation.
Okay. He's not communicating with me, but maybe once a week on an email, and it's we haven't spoken since May 8th, and I really feel like we need to communicate in order to save this marriage.
Okay, so and what is the question?
I don't know how to reach out and without pressuring him, since he's starting to open up and make him go away again. I feel like I've been very patient, and a lot of people feel that I've gone over and above to give him his time and space, but I'm scared that we're never going to make this work if he can't talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see what Mylon and Jill say. It sounds to me like he is so troubled and so
scared.
Yeah, that... That whatever's going to happen.
He's afraid of everything. His fear is overwhelming.
Well, but it seems like whatever's going to happen, if you want something good to happen, you're going to have to be extremely patient because he can't just make himself feel better. It sounds like he's really, really in trouble. But we'll hear from Mylon and Jill right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. And we'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
Call Gill Travel at 1-800-223-3855. You can also get that off of our website. Ask for Donna.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Yes, we are back. Steve Argaburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, the author of How We Love Our Kids, and Dr. Jill Hubbard, the author of The Secrets Women Keep. The Secrets Women Keep. Well, what do you guys think for Emmy here? What could she do to, if there's any hope for the marriage?
Emmy, we're so sorry that you're in this situation. You know, one question that I had was, it sounds like after he lost the first job, I didn't hear anything about any intervening regarding the sexual harassment and addressing those issues.
You know, I have to be honest with you. My previous husband lost his job and for the exact same thing. So I think I was so traumatized that it happened again. I kind of maybe brushed it under the rug, but inside held a lot of anger and resentment, and our relationship got very strained because he never, he apologized up and down, and I felt like I forgave him, but maybe I didn't because like he didn't let me heal. He didn't go and get an, he couldn't really find another job that would provide for us, and he was keeping jobs together.
Emmy, the job wasn't the problem here? And I realize you needed an income, and so that's security and all of that. But you guys kind of glossed over the problem. And it makes sense, especially since, like you're saying, you had been through this before, and, you know, you didn't want to go through it again.
Right.
So it's like, okay, if he gets another job, he'll be fine. But I think, you know, in glossing over things, you know, obviously he wasn't okay. And certainly, you know, the sexual harassment is just a symptom of how not okay he is. But it's you know, it's escalated to the point where, you know, he's run home to mom.
Exactly. And he's left so many responsibilities here with absolutely,
he's pretty much
no idea
checked out. Yeah.
That he went out to get, I know he did get his certificate in phlebotomy while he was out there. So I feel like he's well enough to be able to go do that, that he should be able to pick up the phone and at least have verbal conversation with me at this point and stop hiding behind the internet. And I just don't know my role as a good Christian wife as far as my patience goes. What I need to do without pushing him away forever, but I need to know where his head's at this point.
Okay, so Emmy, I have a thought that's a bit different than what you're maybe headed toward here. What you're telling me is you've picked two husbands that have out of control sexual issues.
Apparently.
I know. Mm-hmm. And so you say, what do I do in this intervening time here? What do I do in this hiatus of relationship? And I think one of the things you need to do is you really need to stop and ask, how am I selecting these men who I'm letting in so deeply into my life and entrusting my children to or my life to, but in reality, they're not trustworthy people? What's wrong with that picture? And you're
putting, I am in counseling for that.
Well, good.
Good.
And so I would suggest that's the number one thing you need to do is that. Number two, I think you just need to give him all the space he wants. Go on about your life. Get a job, your own job. You know, move if you have to. Get into a small place with you and your child and develop a life. And then if he chooses to come back, that's his choice. You've made the offer clear. I want you to come back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the more you push and push and push out of your own insecurity, now you're going to be struggling. Well, you know, do I call him? If I don't, am I going to push him away? Am I going to welcome him back in this ambivalence that you have? I don't blame you. It's a crazy place to be.
Sure is. Right.
But I think you really need to take care of yourself first and go back and take stock at a 40,000-foot level. Why have I picked two men that are very similar?
Yes, I agree. I have been, since he left, really working on me and my business, and, you know, my life is really, really falling into a good place, but I miss him so much, and I just feel like I want to, you know, salvage my marriage, but I can't do it alone.
Well, no, what do I want to salvage? I miss a person who is a sexual harasser. You know, is it companionship or is it a quality relationship I'm seeking here? And if he did say, I just want to come back.
Or is it just not being alone?
Or is it just not being alone?
Missing marriage, right? There's a lot of benefits to being married, even if your partner really isn't doing his part. And we women are really good at overcompensating for men that don't do their part.
Well, these are great, great issues to bring up with your counselor. I also want to suggest that some of that picking dilemma that Mylon's talking about can be helped greatly by going to Essanon. You know, it's like Al-Anon for women that are connected with sex addicts, and I think it could really, really help you. So I want to suggest that to you also.
Okay. And, say that again. It's what?
It's Essanon, or there's also COSA, Codependence of Sex Addicts.
Yep. And I'm going to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution because there are some things in there to stop that you're doing, and there's some things in there to start that he's not doing, and I hope that between the two of you, you can pull this thing back together. If there's any way you could get him to a marriage weekend, that's your best hope, and that's the best hope for any marriage, whether it's a disaster or you just need to improve it a little bit. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Our next Women in the Battle workshop, which is another source of great healing for her, November 1, 2, and 3. This is for the spouses of those who have a problem with sexual integrity. Let's talk to our next caller here. And who do we want to go to? Why don't you guys, you want to pick who you'd like me to talk with or who you'd like us to talk with?
Let's talk to Anna in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I would love to talk to Anna in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Anna, are you there on line 7?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. How can we help?
I just have a question. My mom was physically abused in her first marriage, and that ended after like 19 years, and she got remarried about 6 years ago to who she thought was her Prince Charming. He is an over-the-road truck driver, and he has been having a lot of problems with talking to women, having profiles on social dating sites.
Now you say he's having a problem talking to other women?
Yeah, he talks to a lot of other women.
Okay.
My mom has a lot of evidence of things like that. She's also, when he's home for the weekend, she's found naked pictures of other women. He's found messages. She's found messages on his phone of things that, like, the before and after conversations of things that happened.
So what did she do when she saw that? What was her reaction?
She's very angry, and she's upset, but she says that she doesn't want to leave him and have everybody say, well, look, you've had two divorces now, and she said she doesn't want to leave until she's done absolutely everything that she feels like she could do.
Well, right. So I wasn't saying she needed to leave, but I was curious if she's done anything.
She goes to church and sees counselors, but he refuses to go. She's talked to him about it several times. He becomes really angry at her. He yells at her. And most recently, like, he started taking money out of the bank account that they have. She has, like, next to no money. She works three jobs, and it just doesn't seem like he is trying to do anything to fix the situation.
So she's she's kind of not doing anything or requiring him to do anything, right?
She's tried. You know, she's tried. She tries to get the counselors to talk to him, but he won't talk to them. He, like, shuts her out. He totally shuts her out. And she talked to him about two weekends ago and said, I'm not playing these games. You know, I am not going to sit here and watch you do this, you know.
Well, yes, she is. She is doing that. She's sitting there watching him.
Yeah, she told him, this is your chance. You wake up and be the person you say you are, you know, or, like, they're like, I'm done. You know, but she doesn't have the money financially to move on at this point.
Well, that so he just hears that and he says, you know, she just told me I could continue to do this because there's no way she's going to leave.
Yeah.
See, so you got to help her develop an alternative so she's not desperate and only has one choice, and that is to do nothing. You could really help her with that, I think. I mean, she's a grown up. She's got to do it herself. Mylon, Jill, what do you think? How can she help Mom?
Well, this is Broken Picker Day, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
You know, when we realize that if I've been in an abusive relationship for 19 years, I don't know a whole lot different. I don't know what a healthy person sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't have the tools. And odds are Anna's mom had, prior to even getting married, as a child perhaps, had abuse. People tend to gravitate towards similar environments. And now this husband was Prince Charming, and he still is Prince Charming to people
that anybody
wants to be a Prince Charming with. It's about drawing a boundary and perhaps leaving and saying it'll be up to you to want to earn your way back.
All right. We'll be back.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle, right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and I'm just going to hope that somebody might want to give this wonderful woman an 85% chance that her life is going to be better, and maybe call in and say, okay, I'm going to provide the scholarship for Anna to go to every
for
woman.
Anna's mom.
I mean, Anna's mom for
well,
every man's,
and,
yeah.
And I'm wondering, I have a thought, Steve, for okay. Anna's mom. You know, to if she can come from a calm place, so it's, you know, so that her anger isn't the only thing that's heard, and really, you know, ask him if this is it for their marriage, meaning does he want anything different than what they have right now? And if so, you know, what would he want? What would he be willing to do? But to kind of, you know, come, sure, she can rattle off all the things he's done wrong, but I think to just really kind of try to appeal to him, you know, from a calmer place of, is there any hope here? And would he be willing then at that point to take some steps? Because, you know, as long as they're sparring, they're going to stay on opposite sides. So,
great.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. Really good. And hold on. Let's see if we can get some information and hopefully get you into Women in the Battle.
You know, Steve, this is also where a legal separation creates mm-hmm. protection for the money
yeah.
that she earns in her three jobs.
True.
And
right.
she has to be able to protect that because it sounds like he's taking advantage of it.
That's mm-hmm. right. Okay. You know, I don't always talk about where I'm going to speak next, but I just love to say this. On September the 20th, I will be in Medicine Hat. All right, let's go to the next caller. Let's talk with Emily.
Come on. Where's Medicine Hat?
I have no idea. I just know that it's on my sheet that that's the next speaking thing I have is Medicine Hat. It's the Hillcrest Men of Courage weekend. So maybe there's only one Medicine Hat in the entire... I don't know. Anyway... I'm wearing a little hat with aspirin glued all around. It's going to be fabulous. Let's go to Emily, Washington, D.C. She's on line two. She'll be our final caller today. And sorry to the others we couldn't get to you. Hi, Emily. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How are you today?
Excellent. What's going on in your life?
I'm very nervous.
Okay.
So, my daughter, who was 20 years old, passed away 7 months ago.
Very unexpectedly.
She died of a heroin overdose.
Wow.
Which we had no clue
mm-hmm.
that she was doing.
Mm.
It's been very hard.
Oh, of course, Emily.
And so not only am I dealing with the grief, you know, sadness, and just sometimes mad at her, you know?
Sure.
And then mad at myself for not knowing or being mad at her.
mm-hmm.
But it's brought up my past and with her father, with whom her father, I was his babysitter when I was 14 and 15, and he sexually abused me and then married me and had
wow.
children with me, and I was married to him for 13 years.
Wow.
Hmm.
And my mom was abusive, and I guess it's why I just did what he told me to do. And for many years, he told me that that was normal. And it wasn't until my 30s that I said that he abused me.
Yeah.
You know, I had no choice. And so now I'm having both these things that I'm battling.
Right.
And not sure where to go with it.
Okay. What kind of help have you gotten since her death?
Since her death, I have talked to someone about it, and it doesn't really seem to help because it's, I guess because it's not someone who's lost a child, you know.
There mm-hmm. are grief groups, Emily, where people are in a similar situation that might be also a good thing to go to.
Grief recovery groups.
Now, I have been to some. In 2011, I also had a stillbirth of my son was stillborn, and I went to that, but I haven't been to a group, maybe even, I don't even know if it exists in where I am, but for drug overdoses, for children who have died from drug overdoses. I mean, I feel like it's a stigma, too, on me. I haven't told anybody.
Oh,
that's how she died.
Well, no, that's
wow,
rough.
Emily. Yeah. You know, Emily, it sounds like there's a lot of things in your life that you didn't know about, that there wasn't someone there to really guide you and to teach you. And so, you know, you've had a really rough road and are kind of having to wake up to some really harsh realities. Mm-hmm. And I think that you do need someone to walk alongside you and kind of go through these things with you and teach you now. And, you know, so to get into counseling, to get into a grief group, to do the work now that you missed out on earlier in life that led you into abusive situations and not knowing about your daughter. You know, that's a lot for you to bear now.
Yeah,
and it feels really bad, Emily, but, you know, getting through it, then there's hope on the other side.
Mylan, you have a thought here for her that might be helpful?
Emily, I'm so sorry about this. This is tragic, but I'd like to suggest that your daughter's death has precipitated a lifetime of grief.
Yeah, I think it has.
And
I've had no father and... No
I know.
Mother.
Oh, bless your heart. You know, I just want to give you a hug right now if I could, but it is how do we grieve a lifetime of loss?
Yeah.
And that is going to be a group where you can process feelings, where people of all sorts of different losses can come together and understand the strength and the power of community, even grieving similar things. But there's a lot for you to go through, Emily, and I'm so, so sorry. Mm. But I think a lot's flooding to the surface right now.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to send you this book, Healing is a Choice, and one of those choices in there that helps you go through, because there's a workbook that goes right with it, is the choice to grieve, and in another choice of embracing the reality there. And then I want you to hold on, because I want to see if we can get you to the Healing is a Choice workshop. That would be a great place for you to begin to open up about this and share with some people that aren't going to judge you and are just going to love you and help you and comfort you. And so sorry to hear about this. It's a great challenge to other parents who are just hoping that a child is going to grow out of this phase, quote-unquote phase, that they think they're in. Just hope and pray you'll act before it's too late.
Wow, that's so, so hard.
Very, very tough.
Hey, Steve, Medicine Hat is in Alberta, Canada, by the way.
Well, I get to go to Canada a lot and speak up there, and I will love that then. Thank you. If you could Google that on Google Maps and tell me how to get there, that'd be great. All right. Glad we cleared up that mystery. Hey, by the way, we sure need your help to stay on the air. Thank you for letting me be here, WFIA, here in Louisville. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks, Steve.
To all that support us. And hey, check out our new website. It's wonderful. It's better. So check out. A few bugs still there. We'll work them out. We love you. Have a great weekend. See you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.